Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi guys, it's me, Andrea Wallace, one of your hosts of Sidework Podcast.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. It's me, Brooke Van Poplin, your other host. It's us in the new year doing it. We both sound a lot better than last week.
Oh God. I mean, I'm still struggling, but it's there, you know. I've been doing infrared saunas and it's actually been working wonders on my respiratory system.
Shit. Well, I am so sorry. Yeah, there's just a weird lingering like a specter in my lung and chest area that just feels
a shell, like an exoskeleton is living in my breasts, is all I can say.
Oh, no. But yeah, I was listening back to just, you know, the top of the show last week. And every time we laughed, we both sounded like 50-year-long smokers. Yeah, we were doing like chunky wheezing and laughing. And I was like, wow, we definitely both sound sick. But anyways.
More like sexy.
Sexy smokers. Oh, by the way, major news alert over on this end. This is what happens when you're having like a career crisis and don't know where to go or where to put your skills or who, you know, it was all furniture, you know, a couple months ago. Uh-huh. I have fully figured out, ordered the tools and learned how to install extensions. So I'm not going to take away. Yeah. Anyways, so might get a little hair weaving business going on the side.
Yeah, a lot of people have to get licenses to do that, but not Brooke.
Not me. I'm not cutting or coloring. I'll look it up.
I'm not calling you on it. I just, you know, yeah, by any means, but I'm just like, sure, yeah, totally. I mean, honestly, some of the ones I get in, like, how hard can it be to like get them in there? You know what I mean? I'm not saying anything. Yeah, yeah.
What I'm telling you folks, though, is we've been scammed. I was happy to give my friends business all this time. But, you know, when times are tough and you've kept up a fancy hair lifestyle when you used to have TV money, you find out that it's a $30 installation kit and you just take the time and the know-how and... you know, I already have the hair, so I put my whole...
And also as a beauty professional, I do get discounts at the hair shop, just so you know.
I'm just saying, we're gonna start a side business dealing, wheeling and dealing hair. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Side hair. It's the podcast, side hair.
I just got all grossed out by it. I mean, a hair is great. I love hair. I just hate it when it's like just sticks everywhere what I mean?
When it's just in a bunch of bags piled up everywhere, you know, which I can only imagine.
I mean, I feel like this podcast plus hair is like, we haven't done a hair episode yet, so maybe we should.
We'll get it on the books. Follow the show. We'll get it on the books.
Just saying,
if you're not a perfectionist and want me to throw in like a little row of some extra length and thickness on your head, come talk to BVP here in LA. starting my own hair shop. Anyways.
Well, let's like dive into headlines, huh? Like, should we just go for it?
Yeah, you picked out some great ones, but I had to come at you first with a headline. that popped up after last week talking about the kids who, you know, had their minds blown that some gas stations actually have decent food. But this headline is just simply gas station eggs, which before you flip out, like, hey, man, you know what I'm talking about. Or like 7-Eleven eggs or like bodega
little,
eggs.
Squirm around in little plastic bags in their own water, you know?
What
water is that? It's just left over from the boil, right? You just gotta, it's got to sit in some sort of sauce, right?
It just needs a little something to keep the moisture in it. All last year when I was doing the writing job that had, you know, the office setting that just had like sick fucking stocked kitchen with everything, we all would get the peeled hard-boiled eggs in the little individual containers. Mm-hmm. And my coworker and I, we realized like we literally, because we were leaving from one floor to go to another one to do like a meeting with somebody else, and we both had put the eggs in our pockets. So we started calling them pocket eggs. Just wandering around with hard-boiled eggs in my coat pocket like a normal person.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like the way they must feel nice in your hand. You know what I mean? As you're walking around, like, you know, yeah.
Actually,
give them a little squeeze.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, because it's so fun to make egg salad, you know, getting that, like, to squash the hard-boiled eggs and get them all crumbled and what have you.
Is that what you do when you make, do you squeeze them with your hands when you make egg salad? That's your method?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah, egg crumbles. I mean, you could get in there with a fork if you want, but why would you use your hands?
I just never have. I just feel like it's a yolk mess, but yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But they're already hard-boiled, honey.
No, but the yolk is still will get on your hands. Like, it'll still get on your... You honeyed me. But like...
I did.
I feel like the yolk still gets on you. You know what I mean? But that's just me.
Well, anyways, I've lost my way here. Maybe this is an OnlyFans thing I need to start for myself on my third, you know, foray into having some sort of side hustle where you can log on and watch me squash hard-boiled eggs with my hands.
Yeah, totally. Maybe in a pocket. Maybe it's like a
pocket
deep
eggs.
Pocket cam.
Yes,
deep pocket egg squish. Yeah.
Anyways, the word is out. The word is out where people think that gas station eggs are creepy and weird. And I'm here to tell you, go for it. They have them at the Starbucks sometimes. And you're like, I don't want one of their weird nuclear reactor sandwiches, but I'm really hungry and I don't want a pastry. So I'm going to get the little pre-peeled hard-boiled eggs.
I mean, some people call it the perfect food. It'll tide you over, you know, between meals. You need a little snack, you get a little hangry. An egg is the perfect go-to.
There are no added ingredients, folks. It's a one ingredient, you know, because nothing at a gas station only has one ingredient in it. It's all filled with, you know, whatever ingredients.
That's
are
true. I was
jerky.
Like, yes, but that's probably a bunch of
that's
different ingredients.
That's the only
thing I
need.
That's totally different. Awesome. Eggs. Give them a chance. Gas station eggs.
Now available at your local gas station.
That's so good. Well, this article from, this is from Bon Appetit.
So fun.
That I found. It's kind of like there's a bunch of like fun little articles in one in this one that I got. First up, and this is what's, you know, made my eyes pop when I was researching and trying to find headlines for this week. So Greenland, there's a Greenland startup. Yes, the country, Greenland, guys, that's shipping glacier ice to cocktail bars in the UAE. And where's the UAE, you may ask?
The United Arab Emirates.
Well, it's in the damn desert, you know?
Yep.
So basically, like, the super wealthy are indeed, according to this article, in their opinion, they are fueling environmental destruction of our planet. You know, and have wanton disregard for the well-being of literally everyone else. So here's the thing. Glacier ice is the new hot cocktail ice in the UAE, in Dubai. So, you know, this is replacing the old cocktail ice they had that was made with frozen mineral water. Ugh,
that is gross.
That?
I'm not into that at all. Mm-mm. What the fuck?
How could you? How could you? And here's the thing about glacier ice. It doesn't have any bubbles because over a millennia, all the air has been pressed out of it, right? And that means it's going to melt a lot slower in your cocktail.
Right. I would hope if this glacier ice is melted, that we're fucked. If your drink is getting soggy.
Totally. Absolutely. But like, let's be honest. Like, yes, that's a perk, but obviously this is a fucking status thing. You know what I mean?
This, like, yes. And there is Shabazz. There's an account I follow called, I think it's at Shabazz Says, S-H-A-B-A-Z. And he calls everyone who's not a one percenter on TikTok. We're all known as pavos, you know, poverty stricken. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he loves to ridicule one percenters doing their ice routines. Like, that is his, what, like, in their mega mansion homes with their refrigerators that are dedicated to ice only. And there's lemon ice, there's lime ice, there's ice with a flower in it and a whole tray of that.
Oh, and yeah.
You,
oh, yeah.
You can't have regular pavo ice.
No, I mean, I follow Disco. Do you follow Disco Cubes out of LA? This like girl who makes the most beautiful ice here in Los Angeles with like full round balls with like beautiful flowers suspended in them. Like,
okay, well, that's cool as fuck. Like, that's art. These are people who literally don't, as far as I know, even have anyone over to their house. And they spend their entire day filling up their ice refrigerator, you know, to have different types of ice. And so now glacier ice, I'm going to have to
tweet at this
guy.
Glacier ice is too much. It's like, well, I guess we better drink the glacier ice while it still exists. But it's like, I don't know. Good for this. I guess good for this Greenland company, the startup, for just getting the money where the money's, when the money's available. You know what I mean?
Can we say that you call me impressed when we've been somewhere where they had a stamp that has the emblem of, you know, the bar or the restaurant group in the cube of ice. Mm-hmm. To me, that's top tier. Wow. Now that's a classy ice
now,
cube.
Now someone really thought about that.
Someone really, and I'm easily impressed. Color me impressed. That's as crazy as I need my ice to get.
Okay, so there's just another tidbit in this same article, saying that girl dinner's over, rat snacking is here. You know, it's been a minute on Sidework Podcast since we've had any rat chat.
Oh, yeah.
So they're saying a donut stuffed with cheddar cheese cubes, Kraft singles draped over cinnamon sugar apples, more processed cheese melted on cauliflower and slathered in sriracha. These are just a few examples of what some folks are calling rat snacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you immediately okay, so my version of a rat snack would probably be when I'm down to just like the crumbs of like pita chips and I can't get the whole pita chip. So I can't do a dip. So instead, I do a spoonful of hummus and then rummage around in the bag to get the crackers mixed in there. And I think that would qualify as a rat snack.
Wow. I like that. I'm like a purist. I just want like shredded cheese melted on tortilla chips in the microwave for 20 seconds.
Honey,
with a little tapatio shaken on top of it.
You're getting honeyed all episode today. You're gonna get all the versions of it. I was like, honey, are you sure? And this one, girl, that was
and a little dollop of sour cream if I'm really feeling it.
There is an entire semester of college, my first year living in a home that I paid rent for, where I survived on gas station Tostitos, mm-hmm. shredded cheese and salsa, mm-hmm. microwaved mm-hmm. meal, and it's mm-hmm. it holds a special place in my heart.
Mine back then was like, I'd actually get like the flour tortilla, then melt it, then roll it up. You know what I mean? Like a little, yeah. So or that's a pretty good little rat snack.
Pizza toast. We used to make pizza toast. Was a great little snack.
Toast is a good little rat snack. That's for sure.
We got to make a video. It's time to get back on the horse with our online presence.
Our rat snack. And just using like our craft singles. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm in. I'm totally into it. So that being said, I do have one more fun little rat tale for you, Brooke. This one, this is kind of all over the place. I'm going with New York Times. So Chicago has a little bit of a viral attraction, if you will, that's called the rat hole.
I mean, the fact that you got, this gets a buka bell, the fact that you got two rat chat topics into our headlines.
Honey, I did it.
Okay, yeah, I don't like that. I apologize for honey.
Thank you. So this has been around for like 20 plus years, but it's basically a cement hole in the neighborhood of Roscoe Village, which Brooke and I went to several times together. She sure did. When we lived in Chicago together. And it's essentially, it's as if like when they were laying the cement, a rat just was like, fell out of a tree or something. And there's a rat imprint in the cement.
It's like a rat fossil. It's like, you know.
It is like a rat fossil. Absolutely. It's or like, you know, a paw print, if you will. But it's a rat instead. So Winslow Dumaine, who is a artist and comic, was heading to a store on Chicago's North Side when he saw this hole, right? A hole in the sidewalk on Roscoe Village with an uncanny resemblance to a rodent. So he basically took a photo of it and just the hilarious caption of "Had to make a pilgrimage to the Chicago rat hole." And then it, of course, blew up. Right? Went viral, over 5 million views, more shares. And now people are actually making pilgrimages to the rat hole and leaving offerings, leaving coins, leaving like little flowers, like making little shrines. Like, and they're filling with water all the time so you can see the rat hole in all its glory. And I'm here for the rat hole.
That's what I was going to ask, is I'm like, who's keeping it watered so that it stands out? Because that's brilliant.
There's just a photo of someone pouring water into it. And it's winter and snowy, so there's always going to be a little floating water in it, you know? So
this is true. I like this too, that it looks like a picture of Winnie sniffing the rat hole. My dog Winnie right there. She would
absolutely
love to put her face in a rat hole.
Now, there might be a little controversy surrounding this because they're saying that the shape of the animal itself, the hips are a little wider, so that it could be a squirrel. You know, it's very possible it could be a squirrel that did this, but, you know, the rat hole just has a really beautiful ring to it, you know?
Yeah, considering, because they said that sort of 9 years in a row, Chicago has been declared the rattiest city in the U.S., which
who knew?
Because I'm like, no way are they owning New York City, but to be honest, your alley system, because we put all of our trash on the street, your alleys are just lawless. It's like the rat gangs of Chicago, baby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just fighting back there.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even tell you the nights.
Tiny little switchblades. It's like it's the music video from Beat It, you know,
yeah,
but with rats.
So, yeah. And if any of you guys are in Chicago and you have made your way over to the rat hole, you know, it's a long, cold winter. It could be a fun thing, a fun activity to break up the monotony of terribly cold days, even though hopefully it is a little warmer when this comes out because it's been like, you know, negative friggin' 40. Did your parents get that too?
Yeah, it was rough there in Michigan. We've been obviously watching nonstop football, so we also watch the Bills play.
Congratulations
today
on your Lions win, by the way.
Detroit Lions, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting, absolutely. But yeah.
Chicago, I mean, the rat hole was there when I lived in Roscoe Village.
I know.
I know. I feel cheated.
Like, I know. But, you know, maybe it's just, thank God for social media, Brooke, for bringing all of this stuff to our attention. No, that's not what I really mean. But, you know, anyway, that's that. I will do a little shout out and say, you guys, we haven't had many server submitted stories submitted to us as of late. So, you know, if, as always, if you guys are inspired by anything, any server submitted story, Brooke, anything they should send our way.
I mean, does your city or town have a weird sidewalk that people gather around and
animal shaped holes?
Animal shaped holes. We're interested in that. Like, do you give offerings to like a tree, like a tree with a weird knotty hole in it that you leave gifts in it, Boo Radley style? Now there's a throwback to an old novel called To Kill a Mockingbird.
Do you have any mockingbird shaped holes? If you do, you just shoot them on over to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's like bounce into the topic of the day. I can't believe we haven't covered this.
Oh, we just keep going and realize that sometimes the most obvious ones, we're just too excited in the fever dream of getting this podcast going.
We get so nuanced.
We missed them.
Yeah, I know. Today we're going to talk about specials.
I got very excited about this because we all have deeply held opinions as servers about specials.
Yeah.
Based on where you worked and what kind of place it was, specials were either bullshit or they were what was for dinner, baby.
I know, you know? Absolutely. So specials, you guys, if you didn't know, if you're not on board, if this is your first, you know, rodeo, specials in restaurants are dishes that aren't part of the regular menu and they're offered for a limited time. These dishes are often created using seasonal ingredients or a way for the chef to showcase their creativity.
Just like the McRib.
I was like, McRib is a special. Like,
honey.
Yeah. So specials can include appetizers, entrees, desserts, or even special drinks. Specials. But as we always, we love to dive into a little bit of history. You guys, today we're going to be rifling. We got a little Wikipedia going. We've got some food and wine as a source, and then restaurants throughout history. Those are our sources today. So let's dive in. You know, when I was looking at like history of specials, I was like, oh my God, of course. The first thing, ding, ding, Blue Plate special. Of course. This is like vintage. This is giving me old timey feels. Like, you know, you go into a diner and there's like an old dusty poster that says Blue Plate special, you know? So Blue Plate specials, this is a super fun thing, Brooke. Guess where they kind of started?
Diners.
Harvey houses.
Oh yeah, that too. I saw that as well. Yeah. I want to revisit, and I'm obsessed with the Harvey girls.
Me too.
Obsessed.
Me too. Okay, so the origins are kind of unclear, right? But basically, like, Fred Harvey opened his restaurant. We know that Blue Plate specials were regular features at the Harvey house. So they were actually blue plates that they came on. And the plates that are like divided. You like when you're camping.
Cafeteria entrees.
Yeah, TV dinners. Yeah,
TV like, dinner, all that.
Absolutely. Like an entree and two little sides. So I think like, you know, what was happening is like the Blue Plate special was like something that was like a, you know, when you don't have any money and you want to go out and it's very cheap to put out there. I think during the Great Depression, Blue Plate specials were a huge, huge thing for like the working man, you know, to come and get like a working man meal.
Absolutely. And an affordable way to fill yourself up. It might not be. It's like, to me, it's like a meal that gets the job done of filling your stomach. Might not be the most exquisite plate of food you've ever had.
No, it is not the fanciest. And there's no substitutions. You get what you get. That's just what it is. But
it's better than prison food.
It's totally better than prison food. She's got a point, guys. She's got a point. There's still some residual coughing going on.
Pause for COVID hack.
Mm-hmm. I know. Once I really get going with the talking, it's still there. But yeah, for sure. Exactly. It was like a daily special. Maybe it rotated, but usually it was kind of like odds and ends and leftovers and little things that they would just smash together. And they'd just be like, this is our Blue Plate special
Blue
today.
Plate special.
Take it or leave it. Or would you like to see the actual menu? Okay, so that is the first. Oh, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, for me, that I love that, like, the origin moving into what we, I think of today as specials at a restaurant is honestly specials were deals. And then they evolved into something that God, you know, where you're, we'll get into it, but they tell you the special and then you're like, how much is that when they don't tell you, you know?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely.
Like, it's not going to be a deal.
I mean, how much could a tomahawk steak cost, you know?
Whoopsies.
Oopsie doopsie deepsie. Okay, the other special that we're going to talk about the history of is the early bird special. Okay?
This I love.
This is great. So I think when we think early bird special, we think Florida, we think retirees, we think like old people
Bob
going
Evans.
In droves. Exactly, exactly. But the origin, right, of the early bird special said that the restaurants had offered early bird specials as early as the 1920s and 1930s. And basically during Prohibition, which we know like kind of like killed like restaurants a little bit because nobody was drinking. They were like, how do we get people in here to eat and dine? And they were basically like, you know, get these, how about we give you guys a deal or a special and then you can come in and eat here and it's cheaper. And that's kind of the origin of it.
Well, because it was also, it was a way to like stagger out the, you know, the volume of guests coming in, and you could also essentially like we said, cater to older clientele, because during this era, it was still very much what we consider like on a weekend reservation. Even though I enjoy a 7 p.m., it was still seen to be very glamorous to not be eating until 8, 9 or 10 p.m. in this era. Right. Because it was just like, come on. It was like this crazy swinging 20s, and it was all about alcoholism and light on the food. But yeah. But yeah, to make money while your business had its doors open would be like, hey, do you want to maybe just come in and eat? And like, maybe you're not into the swinging lifestyle. Like,
yeah, just come in and dine. And that way we can like be making money all the time, not just later.
What they said too was that if you came in to eat your meal, it would then get you admission into the club for no additional price.
Well, and then there were stores, right? So you're talking about like department stores that have restaurants, you know. So they, especially drug chain stores, they were probably the first to offer early bird meals, you know, usually breakfasts or pre-noon lunches. And this was clearly a tactic to draw customers into the store at times when it was the least busy. So it's like, come in for the cheap, eat, stay to shop.
I love that. And I love that they really kind of tried to credit Palm Springs here in California as the origin of the early bird special, where they're just like, for whatever reason, Palm Springs, even way back when, people loved to get home and be like, probably just poolside or God knows what. Basically, they were like, if we could feed people by 5:30 and everyone was gone by 9:30, it was a great night.
I mean, I feel like, I think that's great too. And I thought about that too, and I was like, well, maybe it's more in the wintertime, because when the sun goes down, it gets cold and weird in the desert for a lot of people, you know?
Specifically cold and weird in the desert, yes.
Right,
because
right.
They said, yeah, oh, you're right, because they said the early bird special was also to help attract people who got confused by daylight savings. To get them in, to be like, hey, I know that your stomach and your brain is going, hey, it's not dark yet, I'm not hungry. Well, guess what? If you come in at 5... you get a nice discounted meal.
I do think that this is like it's dissolving the early bird special. You know, I popped onto the credited Eater as originating one of these stories, and like there is a pretty big decline, especially like in Florida, which, you know, happens. I just think there's a different. Like retirees are just, the scene is changing. They're not like they used to be, you know,
because a whole
new generation is like coming in. But
that generation has died out for sure. I for sure know what it was like to be on a vacation with my grandparents who would want to eat dinner at 5 p.m., you know.
Yeah.
And you're just, even as a kid, you're like, what the fuck? Like, we're burning daylight. I want to be in the pool. What are you doing?
I know, for sure. I agree. But there is part of me that's like, I'd fucking eat dinner at 5 o'clock and be home on my couch. I do that now, you know? I don't hate this.
I do like that they've credited that early bird dining would begin as early as 4 p.m., as we know, but they found one restaurant chain, which was the JB's Big Boy restaurant in Nebraska, where the early bird special started at 2 p.m.
Damn!
Right? Way to go, Nebraska.
There is no place like Nebraska.
Finally going to come visit. I'm going to come visit soon.
Absolutely. So fun history, really fun history. So let's bounce in. Let's bounce back. So daily specials, right? I was thinking about daily specials on rotation, right?
Yes.
So that would kind of be more like weekly, on the weekly. So on Monday, there's a set. On Tuesday, there's a set. Let's motherfucking Taco Tuesday.
Meatloaf Mondays.
What's the slowest day of the week at a restaurant? Tuesday. You know, this is when you're seeing wing specials. I remember back when they would do like 10-cent wings, and we all know wings are so fucking expensive now for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, fried chicken night, like, or get a free pitcher of beer with every Cobb salad you order. Remember that restaurant we went to? That was great deal.
I thought, great. That's so weird. Your stomach feels real bad the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Bottomless pitchers of beer and Cobb salad.
But you have to spend money to save money, Brooke. That is how it goes.
You do.
You know, it's the best thing about the Cobb salads there? They hand crush the eggs.
Yes. Who was it? We did have someone, I want to say it was either like April Wolf or someone like that, who was part of their side work was crushing the eggs for the salad bar.
Oh, I don't know if it was. I don't remember.
But we had one or two people who part of their server side work was crushing up the hard boiled eggs with gloves on their hands to prep for, because they would. I think kind of have to like man the salad bar at their chain restaurant they worked at, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just saying it's good fun and you've been missing out.
Sorry, I guess I'll just be, I'm going to get my hands dirty. I'm going to get my hands dirty this year in 2024.
We all have our different sensory sort of kinks, okay?
Look, I'm a I like a hard-boiled egg. Like, the way I eat it is very specific, like everybody else, I'm sure. Okay, so specials that are always available, right? If you know mm-hmm. how to ask. I think that a lot of places have this, kind of like a secret in and out menu. Right. But kind of like if you know, you know, you can always ask for like the special this and this and this in the kitchen. I think there's a few places like that, but I don't want it to get out of hand. You know what I mean? I think it's a very few and far between that, you know, you can ask for like a kind of the secret special, you know,
the secret special. And I'm picturing the customer who's probably so smug about knowing.
I know
it.
They're like, well, they always whip us up this and like. That's a pretty good impression of how. But I do think, you know, it does walk the line with like the customer always getting what they want and not being too much of a douche. But, you know, maybe it's like, well, you're it's a regular, you know.
Something that I can attest to, and this is at James, obviously, I've talked about multiple times over the years. We did not have a vegetarian plate on the menu, but it was ask us if you have dietary restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and we would go out of our way then, if you called ahead, just to give a heads up.
Sure.
You know, just because, like, you know what it's like. You can end up going
special
out
special requests.
Yeah, so I guess that's not a special, but it yeah. I guess it's not even a secret menu thing. Never mind. I'm off my...
Yeah, but no, I get it. I still think that's considered a special. I know. I totally think, look, I think this was like a weird, I've only known a couple places that have done this, so it was kind of like a weird throw in anyway. So, of course, like going off on a tangent like that, you know, and if they're just like, they made it for me before. They made this special for me before.
Can you do something like it? I know you've got the ingredients.
I'm sure you have it back there. Absolutely. Okay, so next is the Monday fish special, huh?
Yep.
Which we all know, the classic tale. This is a very Kitchen Confidential, you know, kind of thing. We miss you, Anthony Bourdain, every day.
We miss you, Anthony. But yes, he helped, you know, basically dispel the myth that, you know, that... Mm-hmm. That there was something actually special happening on a Monday with fish. It was the fish that did not get, you know, sold over the weekend. And it's now going on being like 4 days old, which, whatever. I've left fish in my fridge for a little bit. It still cooks up just great. We're just saying you're not getting that. Like if it got delivered first thing on a Friday morning and they pushed it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, by Monday, you know. they're just trying to get rid of it and make money.
Yeah, they just are trying to push stuff out the door. They were saying, I read this other article, this is Food and Wine one, that was basically like talking about like, you know, are specials even that special, you know? And it's like, look, if it's St. Patrick's Day and you have a corned beef special, chances are you're going to have a cabbage soup 2 days later, you know? And that's just how it is.
That's so just how it is. Yeah. So it's not a special. It's just, you know, it's funny. I would love it if restaurants would be honest and just be like, today's leftovers.
Yeah. Kind of like here's a bunch of crap we just had to get rid of, and we're going to make you a delicious soup with. Duh. That's how
totally.
It works.
Totally. And like, we're smart and we know how to fucking use food and make different, brilliant, delicious things out of it.
Absolutely.
But it is really funny. Like, if you've worked in a restaurant, you're like, this ain't special. This was, these were the Irish egg rolls that didn't sell at Jameson's Pub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and as we all know, I'm all about an Irish egg roll. I would eat one right now because I'm hungry also. We're recording at dinner time, so I'm hungry.
Sean is making homemade nachos, grilled chicken nachos as we
Boom!
Speak. So,
yeah, nacho night.
Oh, we're one-upping I will take a microwave nacho, as I said, but I love that.
Oh, that's desperation. We have a whole nacho night. So, like, accoutrement is gourmet up in here when we do it. I pickle things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I need a ratio of,
No, I was just like, Sean, I know that restaurants can't always get the perfect bite, you know, on a plate of nachos, but I need you to try. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to need a little of this, a little of this, a little of this. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That's amazing. So, you know, that going to our specials, even that special, you know, like the mind of a brilliant chef, like specials can be a way to showcase, you know, what the chef might be working on, working toward. Maybe there's beautiful seasonal, like, you know, 1 week only in the spring, we only have fiddle leaf ferns. You know what I mean? And like, they're on the menu and that's the special and that's what you get. But which I think is great. I do love a special, you know? But
there can also be like, I was also going to say, I'm like, sometimes you're just sitting here going like, you're just kind of like reinventing things that are already on the menu. So this isn't super special. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like sometimes when you are in, because a lot of Mexican food, when it's very Americanized, is really just kind of, you know, and I love like this.
Yeah, it's like, is it stuffed in a tortilla, on a tostada, or in a taco, or an enchilada? It's the same. Right. Six ingredients just presented differently.
Differently, with different crunch or level of mess. Do I use a fork? I still don't know what to do when I eat tostadas.
I mean, I'm here for all of it. You can supreme it for me. I'm fine, you know?
100%. And I do love that. And again, it's not like lack of inspiration. It's just sort of running a different special because fuck it. But yes, I was going to say, you know, we've all worked at the place or with the chef who's like, I was inspired at the farmer's market this weekend and the strawberries just looked irresistible. Mm-hmm. And you end up with like a beautiful strawberry shortcake as a special for dessert. And like, God damn it. In those situations, get it. Like, get
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. And it's here for a limited time only.
But there's also the delivery mistake or the inventory order fuck up, and suddenly you've got something on the menu that's never been on the menu before.
Yeah, they like sent us a bunch of like duck hearts for some reason. You're like, you want me to push the duck heart? Like,
so we're making duck heart beignets.
Yeah, we're making we're making duck heart mousse. Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always felt though that we for sure will frequent restaurants that have really little menus, which I love because it means they're doing everything fresh and regularly and you can trust it. Those are the places though where you can get a little tired of the same thing and you're like, oh, do tell me about the special.
Oh, yeah. I would love
something different.
Would love to hear about it. And working there, too, I'm sure it gets very exciting to be like, whoa, what do we get to try tonight?
Yeah.
Wait, what's in season? You're going to like shave truffles onto something, which like, you know, you probably won't be able to try anyway. You don't get to try the expensive shit. You just get to, you know, like you just get to tell people it tastes great.
You just, I was reading somewhere into that Food and Wine article that's like, yeah, if the special was really, really elevated, you just had to get, you had to put on your old actor pants.
And just probably, be like, shaved truffles. Of course you want that $200 pizza. Yum, yum.
Mm, get it, guys. We 100% had our chef for a hot minute who got super inspired by this expensive truffle that he got and was doing truffled, basically like, oh, it was crazy, but like, truffle omelet that was so much damn money because most people are just used to truffle oils on their French fries and they're like, why the fuck is, and you're like, because the real ones are actually very expensive. I remember pushing that crazy ass brunch special, but for the people who were into it, you know, truffles and chives and a beautiful French style, you know, like when you think of that scene from The Bear, who like everyone's sweeping the Emmys tonight right now, but when you see that beautiful omelet that she makes, but also with fancy, fancy, fancy-ass truffles on top of it.
So selling specials, right? I think this is a very specific nuance. Like, I mean, because it's like, it can be a lot to rattle off. Let's not lie, you know? You want to make sure you have all the details, all the teeny tiny little ingredients that like go into making this special so special and beautiful.
Right.
It's like, tonight's special, we have sand dabs that have been dredged in hand milled crushed whole wheat flour, lightly seared and pan sauteed, topped with a lemon blanc sauce on a bed of quinoa.
Quinoa was sold to us by a refugee from Bolivia.
Yes, we are doing our part in giving back to the fair trade quinoa trade. And also you also get a side of roasted broccolini.
She comes out at the end of your meal to say hello.
Roasted broccolini would be a kind of a fun drag name. I'm just going to say that
now. Oh, that is a good one. Our friend Scotty, I don't know. He just put something really stupid. Scotty Landis, who was on the podcast ways back, but anyways, he just, I don't know why, but posted a coupon for a hose from Lowe's, Lowe's Home Goods or whatever hardware store, and I was just dying because it was a coupon and it was not the greatest reviewed hose, and a lot of people had a lot to say about the quality of this hose, and I was like, man, 4-star hose is a pretty great brand name.
4-star hose is amazing. 4-star hose. Yeah. Did you guys ever do contests to see who could sell the most specials, or like a monthly contest to be like whoever sells like the most of this wine, or whoever, you know, I guess that would be a little different, but contests for specials, I guess, specifically.
Well, let me be the first to tell you that even had I wanted to win, I wouldn't have. And that was just never my energy or vibe.
I mean, won.
Of course. And that's okay. We know who we are in this world and life.
Totally. Absolutely. I would be like, you guys want this. And then I'd be like, I'm going to win. I don't remember what I would win, though.
It just seems like limoncello.
Or like a bottle of wine or something, you know? Right. Yeah. And also, like, does the kitchen care if you're selling these specials or not? I mean, yes, because bottom line, you know?
Bottom line, it's like it's the chef or the sous who is just like, I spent more than I should have and we have to make our money back.
What are we going to do with all these duck hearts?
Duck hearts. Fucking duck heart beignets. But yes, it is a mouthful. I remember... And we all know that the glaze that comes over people's eyes. Oops, excuse me.
Anglaise.
That comes over people's eyes when you
start
like,
to tell them the specials
tonight. And hey, listen, God bless a alpha guest who's like, I know what I want. I'll save you the breath. And you're like, all right, cool.
Sounds good. Sometimes I want to know if places have specials, though. Like when you're talking about, if it's a tight menu where I'm excited to be there. But yeah. And, you know, I definitely have been the person or seen people receive it where it's like I rattle everything off and they don't listen to a goddamn word or remember a goddamn word, you know?
No, none of it. It's a weird dichotomy. You know, they want to tell you what they.
Could you tell me that special again? You know, I'd always be like, we only have like two left, you guys. So if you want that, you're going to let me know. Because
yeah, I want to be sure to get it in for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get it in for you. Got your back.
I want to put it in for you. I'll help you put it in. Do you have any specials that you remember? Any really specific specials over the years that stand out in your mind?
I mean, trying to push this like $20 omelet back at James because of the special truffles when people really didn't know that truffles were and could be that special. Because it's also like, hey, listen, don't get too excited. There are going to be like four shavings on this because it's that fucking expensive. I swear to God, there was something with like gold flecked. Is that a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like gold-flecked truffle or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. That's like, yeah, absolutely. That's like a David Cross joke, old David Cross joke, right?
Oh, good Lord. Anyways, yeah, I do recall that. And no, it's been a minute other than just like really working at the corporate Sullivan Steakhouse where...
Push the special.
Right. Well, if there were specials on top of the 90-second spiel you had to do every night, I mean, you were going to be like literally gasping for breath 5 minutes later, still talk there. Everyone's like, fuck you. We hate you. Get away from our table. Jesus.
I mean, look, when I worked at, get ready for it. When I worked at Buca di Beppo.
I got you.
Specials were every day. Like, pretty much, the weekends were the heavier, but I'm telling you, and then some of these specials were, like, came on the most ungodly huge platters I've ever seen. Like, there was, like, a gnocchi with, like, a bolognese. You'd have to, like, it came in a foil pouch. You'd have to, like, open it up table side. One was, like, a, it was like it had to be like 5 pounds of angel hair pasta.
Jesus.
With like a spicy like garlic olive oil with like Kalamata olives and like I don't know ricotta salata. You know that was I didn't know what ricotta salata was until I started working at Buca di Beppo. So
thank you,
Buca.
Roasted broccolini and ricotta salata. We're now a duo of drag
queens. Oh, I love ricotta salatas and so good. So yeah, there is a lot, and you wanted to push the specials. That's when you would get like your baked pasta, you know, which yes. I want baked pasta. I want like cheesy, ooey gooey, you know. Even like lasagna was a special. We didn't just have it on the menu. You know, you had to get and then lasagna was just okay, and it looked like a loaf of bread. You know, it was that big.
Dry. Well, it was just long.
Oh, you mean the portion. God. Yeah, yeah. Ugh. The portion was like the size of a loaf of bread. Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy, Brooke. But yeah, other than that, specials, I feel like there'd just be like a cute little fish special on the weekends, you know? Nice little sauce, you know?
And extra like pasta. That. You know, we're having fun and trying a different pasta.
Yeah, we like this cute little place. We have some more ketty for you this weekend, you know?
Tonight, the bartender's feeling a little saucy, and they're doing absinthe drinks to go with your loaf of lasagna.
Loaf of lasagna. Either that, or would you like, you could get yourself a nice apple martini, but we do it Italian style, so we put a meatball in it.
like your meatball sundae from IKEA, which I might go to Burbank.
It's such a nice little portion. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like that's all I got. That's all we got for specials today.
You know, and just a question for you. How often, if what do you think your batting average is in terms of, do you think being a service industry worker makes you know when you should go for the special? And how often do you think you go for it?
God, that's a good question. I went for a special on Saturday. We went to a place called Pisana, which is a smaller pizza chain here in LA. And they're it's like a Italian wood fired pizza. They have a cacio e pepe pizza, Brooke, that is like out of control delicious. But it was my first time there. And there was a special pizza that was like roasted pork with like pineapple jam. There was pineapple. Hey. So it was like a slow cooked pineapple jam on it. And then there was spam on it as well. And jalapenos. And it was like, and after our chat of like pineapple pizza last episode, I was like, maybe we should get this special. It was delightful.
Damn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sean and I got a pepperoni lover's pizza from the Hut. I wish I was lying. We just were looking for what was cheap and fast.
Sure, man. I get that.
But it took me back. Are you kidding me? I haven't had a Pizza Hut pizza in years. And I was just like, good God, this is crazy. It's so good.
Dude, on New Year's Eve, we went to the Dish Pig's house.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was like, should I bring something? Should I not bring something? And I picked up like three boxes of the deep dish Little Caesars breadsticks.
Okay.
And that's, I was like, you just walk into a party like a little champion, you know what I mean? Just soak it all up. Like
all of our faint, like I love that we just do not feign snottiness like against being like, oh, who eats that, when like you, we all know you're the hero if you show up at a party with delicious fast food.
There was nothing left at the end of the night. And then someone else like showed up with like 20 hard shell tacos from Taco Bell, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Uh-huh. These are like, this is what I'm talking about. Like this is how
Sean and I were definitely laughing at like Taco Bell has a ad campaign out right now that's like Live Moss, you know, which is what they're doing. And it's the coolest people you've ever seen gathered in a room, all just getting their Uber Eats Live Moss Taco Bell delivered. And we're like, who the fuck is like this? And then we're like, it's us. It's real. Like, it's very real.
Look, I went to a wedding at a tiki bar. I went to a wedding reception at a tiki bar last night, which was lovely. But, you know, I hadn't really eaten much. I had, look, when there's an open bar with there's tiki drinks involved, you're sure as shit going to end up at Taco Bell after it. And then you're double sure as shit going to have a weird sweaty night of tossing and turning all the alcohol and sugar out of your body all night long. But my new, I think, favorite go-to at Taco Bell is getting a black bean chalupa supreme. So not meat. No meat. You do black beans instead. And it's kind of incredible.
Hot tip.
I know. I feel like we're doing top of show at bottom of show, but we're sandwiching. This is a nice little sandwich. We just love to talk to each other, guys. We barely have seen each other in a month and a half. Like
riddled with disease and travel.
No. So yeah, you have a little note here for upcoming episodes, like chain restaurant scandals.
Exactly.
Like, what is this?
Yeah, I know. I'll show it just for it. It's like a whole big beefy, like a 20 scandal deep listicle of all of the crazy fast food and chain restaurant things that we may have forgotten over the years. And you know, we go lowbrow. We obviously were just talking about eating Taco Bell.
Yes.
And like, listen, there's no hate. We also embrace and celebrate and love our chain restaurant workers as well. But the scandals go deep with you all over the years. So I thought that could be a really fun one.
This is like almost a little prequel to like what we're going to do for you guys next. You got to leave them wanting more, Brooke.
Yes.
More. Well, you guys, that's it. You know, thanks for listening to this special episode. Oh, honey. I just honeyed myself.
Do you guys have any specials tonight? And then you say, it's special every night here.
God damn it. That does happen, doesn't it? Oh, I forgot about that. Jeez. Yuck.
We're giving out free piles of cash.
Oh, my God. Do you guys have any... horrible special stories, please send them over to sidewardpod@gmail.com. But other than that, Brooke, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed, don't eat the fish.
Good tips, guys. Thanks for listening.